You're listening to Adventure in the Ascent. Let's go higher.
Easter has passed. Now what? Coming out of John chapter 20 this morning, the question is, what does life look like post-resurrection? There's so much anticipation for Easter, isn't there? We do the prep, plan the meals, the photo shoots, the clothes. Palm Sunday comes, then Good Friday, then Easter morning, and he's went to the cross, he's risen from the dead, he's risen indeed, then Monday comes around. And for many people, it's done, it's over. Easter 2024, it's in the books. For a lot of folks, it's the last time they'll attend a service until Christmas or Mother's Day or next year. And then for a lot of us, it's now that Monday after Easter or that Sunday evening, and it's Easter's over, right? We tend to treat Easter like it's an ending, but truly it was anything but that. Easter was, it was a revolution, and life after resurrection was this monumental shift. Jesus has died for our sin. The veil is torn. He's defeated death. There's no going back to just a normal Sunday evening, a normal Monday morning. Everything has changed. And if he's gained victory over death itself, then there's now nothing that is impossible. Remember what we read last week in Romans 8, where Paul tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What has taken place there and what we just explored through the Easter season means new life to us. Romans 6, 4 declares, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That first Easter Sunday evening, though, the disciples, I think, found themselves in that boat of what is next? So much has happened. Just the verse before we're about to begin, Mary Magdalene has found the disciples, and she's reported to them this the great wondrous news. I've seen the Lord. After her encounter that she had in the garden, she delivered the message, and we pick up with them in John 20, starting in verse 19 through 22. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the disciples have locked themselves in a room. They're scared. They're fearful because of the Jewish leaders. Look what they had done to Jesus. Are we next? What's going to happen? The shepherd was struck and the flock scattered. And in the middle of their scared hiding and worry, Jesus literally shows up in the middle of them. And I love that he didn't even use the door. Closed doors are no barrier to the risen Savior. Remember, nothing is now impossible. Can you imagine the scene? You're already scared. And then boom, the man you followed, the man you saw die is now in the midst of you. So much so that Jesus' first words are, peace be with you. He knew they needed that. And how incredibly powerful is it for the Prince of Peace to utter those words to you? They heard that familiar voice, and now he's back among them. Just his presence alone would put him at ease, and he gives that familiar greeting. But now it's much more than that. He has just declared through his actions what he did on the cross in his resurrection. He's now declaring a new kind of peace, peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have now been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says that he began to show them his wounds in verse 20 as he's speaking. And he showed them his hands, his side. It was him. And I love that next part. It says they were filled with joy. And you picture this, they're scared, afraid, hiding, but now in a moment, it is instantly turned to joy. It reminds me of Isaiah 61, verse 3, part of the prophecy about Jesus, where it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that fear is being driven away in verse 21, and he again tells them, peace be with you. What kind of encounter did this have to be? Because everything has changed. these previously scared disciples. Remember Peter denying him in front of a slave girl. They scattered, hiding behind locked doors because they're afraid of the Jews. But then in just a short time after this, we're actually going to see the disciples in Acts chapter 4 preaching to the very Jewish leaders they had been hiding from. They were afraid of. In Acts 2, they're boldly proclaiming to the crowds in that very same scary city all about Jesus, sharing the gospel, signs and wonders, boldness, joy. What an encounter they had. What happened? It says in verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. They were being sent. So Jesus is now commissioning them to be the sent ones. He said, you know how my Father sent me from heaven into this world to actually show the world what God is really like, what he's truly like? Now you're going to go and do likewise. That word sent, apostello, it means to commission, set apart for a special service. And this is my favorite. Equip and dispatch one with the full backing and authority of the sender or to send a message by someone. Equip, dispatch with a full backing and authority of the sender. This is how they were going out. This is how we go out as well. We see it similarly in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So they have this precious message, this gospel, this backing of heaven, the authority of heaven. And Jesus says, go out into a broken world and proclaim this, that same prophetic picture in Isaiah of what Jesus was doing. He says, now you go and do likewise, reconcile people to God. They're given a mission from Jesus backed by heaven, but how are they to accomplish it? We've already seeing that on their own, they just end up scared and helpless and not doing much, but staying and sitting in their little holy huddle behind locked doors. But look at that next verse, that phrase in verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It was going to take something supernatural to accomplish the supernatural kingdom mission that the Trinity was sending them on. And Jesus said, I have just the thing, Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So they received the life-giving Spirit. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. They became born again. John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see this kingdom until you're born anew into it. This is regeneration that they're experiencing here. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This verse describes Jesus breathing on them. This is the same exact picture that we see of the Father in Genesis 2:7, where he breathes into Adam. It says there in Genesis, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, new life. Remember the Spirit hovering, fluttering over the waters at the beginning, itching to create new life. This is that. And now we have Jesus breathing into the disciples, onto the disciples, and it's a new type of life, a new type of new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was now no going back. Shortly in Acts 2, we see that the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers, all being included in the empowerment and the mission that God has for them. The resurrection was everything for them now. It was a new day. It was a new chapter. The cross had been the death of everything they had hoped for and they believed was true. And that's when they found themselves being scared and huddled up together. But that wasn't the final end. It was only the end of who they had been previously. And it was now the beginning of who they were truly meant to be, the plan of God in full motion. And when Jesus came resurrected, they came alive and alive to his purposes in the earth. So what does this mean for us over 2,000 years later, after we have celebrated so many Easters ourselves and so many Easters have passed? It means the exact same as it did for the early disciples. We come alive individually. We receive his Holy Spirit. We come alive to his purposes in the earth. So what does it look like practically? First, we see their fear turn to joy and boldness with just a whisper from the Prince of Peace when he shows up in the middle of their circumstances. So when Jesus went to the cross, remember, he went to take care of it all. And fear is one of those things. Romans 8:15 tells us, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." 2 Corinthians 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." So if you find yourself locked away in a place of fear, we simply need him to enter the room. We begin to dwell on his goodness, his word, worship. We begin to whisper his name, Jesus, and he shows up, and that perfect cascading love of the Father will drive it out. It says the disciples were overjoyed. That's that joy for mourning. He's still doing that. So we just declare, come in the room, Jesus, and we receive his presence, and we receive the peace that he offers. And that's that second thing. He left them with the gift of peace. So what does post-resurrection life, new life, look like? It looks like shalom. It looks like peace. Even in the middle of circumstances, Jesus said it this way in John 16. He said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, he didn't promise the kind of peace where you skip through the field of flowers and sing kumbaya all the time. He said, it can get rough. We live in a fallen world, but you're not from here. You have new life, new identity, citizenship in heaven. I've overcome all of this. And he says, in the midst of that, in me, that's the key, in me, in him, you can have peace in the midst of it all. So the key is staying in him. You must stay in him. Isaiah 26:3, it teaches us, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So in this new life, he's dealing with fear. He's dishing out peace. He's teaching us to stay in him. And thirdly, he's given us a mission. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Just as in the time of those early disciples, there are still people unreached with not just the gospel, but also the peace, power, joy, and wholeness, that sozo that he offers. He had demonstrated through his life that he came to bring heaven down to encounter people. He showed them what it looked like. He was fulfilling all of Isaiah 61:3. Remember, to console those who mourn, give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Excuse me, the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? So that he may be glorified. He said, you are now those ambassadors. So go show them what the Father's really like. Share this message. Demonstrate this message of the gospel, the kingdom. Go therefore. It's nowhere near over. It's just the beginning, and you won't stay in a room. You'll carry it out, and so many after you will carry it out. You will do what I've been doing. Jesus said in John 14, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Imagine that, greater works. But he doesn't just say those early disciples. The verse says, he who believes in me. He who believes in me. So that's anyone who believes in me will do these works. So that is also our commission. People are still hurting. They're still dying without Jesus. We, the church, the sent ones, be sent with full authority in Jesus' name. Part of what we do in gathering and opening his word is the equipping to go and do just that. And lastly, it says, how are we to take part in this commission, the sending out? The same as the early disciples. The equipping for the sending is verse 22. He says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's the key. It's the supernatural empowering for the supernatural mission that's given. And you can't do it without them, without him. We can't do anything without them. I don't even need to go to the store without his leading. When we come to faith, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 teaches us. And that breath of life, that breath that brings new life, comes in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So resurrection life, post-resurrection life, newness of life. This is that post-Easter life. There's no more hiding in rooms. There's no more fear. There's no more lack of peace, but a bold commissioned life fueled by the literal breath of God, by Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory.